Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Job chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 4 and 5 in just a moment. We're continuing our series tonight, Brave, Living Fearlessly. And tonight's message is titled, Faith and Wellness, Faith and Wellness. You know, members of a psychology research team polled 500 people asking, what are you afraid of? And 500 people came back with 7,000 fears. 7,000 fears. There are so many causes of fear, but one of the greatest is in regard to our health. In its extreme, the mere thought of an illness can trigger a panic attack. This fear of sickness is called illness anxiety disorder or hypochondria. Have you ever heard of hypochondria? Okay. But everyone, in varying degrees, fears sickness, and rightfully so. Have you ever gotten some kind of pain or discomfort or feeling, and immediately your mind thinks, something terrible must be wrong with me? Have you ever felt that way? It's that fear that grips your heart. Christian pastor and author Dr. David Jeremiah was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a blood cancer, in 1994. And through treatment and God's healing power, he regained his health and continued in ministry. But he says that in the nearly two decades since his diagnosis, people have repeatedly asked him, Dr. Jeremiah, were you ever afraid during the time that you were dealing with cancer? And he said, it's as if they think that being a pastor would exempt you from cancer or exempt you from being afraid. And he goes on to explain that he's human just like anyone else. And he says, if someone told you that you have a disease that could take your life, what feelings do you think you would have? He had all of those feelings, including fear. When you're diagnosed with a serious illness, there is no words to adequately relate what you feel to someone who has not been through it. You just can't communicate to them what it feels like. If they've been through it, then they understand. And it is human to fear sickness. It's human to not want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. No one wants to deal with chronic sickness or pain. We fear not only what we will go through, but we fear being a burden to our loved ones. We fear losing control over our lives. We fear the financial impacts of loss of work or medical bills. There is nothing more important to a person than their health. And even Satan understands this. If you go back to the book of Job, after Satan had stripped Job of all of his wealth and had killed all of Job's children in a freak windstorm, Job continued to honor God. So Satan comes before the Lord with a final petition in Job chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And he says, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to the face. Satan understood the importance of our health, and he asked God for permission to strike Job's health. And he is sure that if Job's health is affected, that Job will turn against God, that Job will curse God. Josh Billings, famous writer and lecturer in the 19th century, often compared to Mark Twain, said, health is like money. We never have a true idea of its value until we lose it. You know, people will travel all around the world and they will pay tens of thousands of dollars to try to get a cure for their disease. We've all heard stories of people who have gone to other countries and paid a lot of money to try treatments that are not even approved here yet in the United States, because people will do virtually anything and they'll spend all that they have to get well. Millionaire businessman Richard Branson of Virgin Atlantic says, nothing is more important than your health. Nothing is more important than your health. And Satan certainly understands that. And that's why he uses sickness as such a powerful powerful weapon. Now, there are three ways in which Satan afflicts our health. Three ways in which Satan afflicts our health. And C. Peter Wagner explains this. He says, Satan causes sickness directly. It is a demonic work. In Mark's gospel, approximately 25% of Jesus's healing involved the demonic. So the demonic can be directly involved in afflicting someone with sickness. So that's one way that Satan afflicts our health. A second way, well, just looking at an instance of that in Luke 13, 16, Jesus heals a woman who had been paralyzed for 18 years. But when he prays for her, he doesn't say be healed. The Bible says he cast out a spirit of infirmity and she was healed. So her physical ailment was the result of a direct attack of the enemy. It was a spirit of infirmity. And of course, we see here in Job, Satan's direct involvement in Job's sickness, in that it is Satan that afflicts his health. Of course, we don't know what percent of sickness is a direct work of the demonic, but from the scriptural record, it appears to be quite a lot. So quite a lot of sickness can have a direct link to a satanic attack. Now, Satan also, in a second way, he uses an indirect means of our fallen human state to cause sickness. And some of those issues or causes we have control over and others we don't. For instance, bacteria, viruses, gene mutations, aging are some of the things that we don't have a lot of control over. But then there are certain things that we do have control over. Bad diet, lack of exercise, lack of rest, stress, those are elements that we have control over. And Satan would like nothing better than you to worry yourself into sickness or to run yourself so ragged that you get sick. So he will use even our choices and our actions as a means to afflict us with sickness. And thirdly, Satan tempts people to sin, and sin incites God's judgment, which at times his judgment takes the form of sickness, as we see on several occasions when Israel sinned, and the judgment was that God sent plagues and it killed thousands. So sickness was a result of their sin. We also read of God striking King Uzziah with leprosy because he got lifted up in pride and sinned and did what he was not supposed to do in the temple. And so the result was a physical ailment. And of course, this pattern continues in the New Testament. In Acts 13, Elymas the sorcerer is struck blind. And in 1 Corinthians 11:30, talking about taking communion with sin in our life, Paul says that there are many sick and some have even died because they participated in communion with unconfessed sin in their heart. So we see that this is a third way that Satan afflicts our health. He entices people to sin, and the result of sin is the judgment of God, which oftentimes can take the form of physical sickness. But the bottom line is that Satan is the direct or indirect cause of sickness because he knows that sickness is a powerful weapon that can cause people to turn away from God, to lose faith, or to curse God, which is what he was trying to get Job to do. When we get sick, it not only affects us physically, it affects us emotionally, and it affects us spiritually as well. We become worried and discouraged. We become fearful and despondent, and that can lead to doubt and unbelief and anger towards God and even turning away from God, as some people have done through their sickness. Satan wants to make you sick, but God wants you well. Can you turn to your neighbor and say that? Satan wants to make you sick, but God wants you well. Amen? That's why we can live fearlessly in regard to our health. Don't listen to your worries. Listen to the word. As we said in our last message, be a warrior, not a worrier. Be a warrior, not a worrier. Being a warrior doesn't mean you never feel fearful about what might happen, but it means that when fear threatens to flood our mind, we do what David did in Psalm 56:3. He says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Amen. We turn our faith to God. We need to bring our fear under subjection to faith. Just remember all the times that God has come through for you, all the times that you have believed and he has answered and he has met your need, and encourage yourself in the Lord. And do your due diligence. You know, do your due diligence. Get your MRI, your CT scan, your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth opinion if you have to. Know all of your options. And when you've done all that you can do, stand in faith and trust God to do what he alone can do. Amen? Depend on God to do what only he can do. Because let me tell you something. As wonderful as medical science is, unless God the healer does what he does, medical science can throw all the treatment at you and it's not going to make any difference. Ultimately, God is the healer. Amen. And we've got to trust him to do what only he can do. And that's when we enter into miracle territory. Stand with confidence that you can trust God completely today. We're going to look at several reasons why we can live fearlessly in regard to our health and our well-being. First of all, we have a great physician. Amen. Can you say amen? We have a great physician. And our great physician is able to keep us from sickness. He's able to keep us from sickness. God had been protecting Job from illness. That's why Satan had to ask permission to afflict him. And this is no isolated case. For 40 years, Israel wandered in the wilderness. 2 million Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And Psalm 105 verse 37 says that God brought his people safely out from Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. There were no sick and feeble folk among them. For 40 years, no sick or feeble folk among them. What was God doing? He was protecting them from sickness. Can you imagine more than 2 million people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, harsh conditions in the wilderness, and none of them getting sick? He promised in Deuteronomy 7:15 that as long as they would obey what he commanded them and not worship other gods, he said, the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. Here's this wonderful promises that if we will honor God, if we will obey what he has commanded us to do, he will protect us from sickness. He will keep us from all the sicknesses that are going around in the world. Amen. What an incredible promise. Talk about preventative care. Wow. You know, in medical terms, preventative care refers to all the screenings that we get, right? Screenings like colonoscopies and endoscopies and mammograms or whatever else that are intended to detect disease early. And of course, I encourage you to do all those. I do whatever is recommended for me as well. But medical science can only detect diseases early. But the great physician can prevent disease completely. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. You know, we don't even know some of the sicknesses and diseases that God has kept us from. But we ought to thank him every day because we're exposed to stuff. We're exposed to other people who are sick. We're exposed to coronavirus. We're exposed to all that. We're exposed to things in the atmosphere that can make us sick. And God's covering protection is what has kept us. We don't even know all the things he has kept us from. But every day we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me from getting sick. Keeping me from getting sick. You know, we're constantly hearing reports about the rate of sickness in the United States. I read an article recently from the CDC, which states that 6 in every 10 adults has a chronic illness. 6 in every 10 adults, chronic illness such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, kidney disease, lung disease, etc. 6 in every 10. And 4 out of those 10 have 2 or more chronic diseases. Wow. When you hear these kinds of reports, it can fill your heart with fear. But as a child of God, if we're living a life that honors God, if we're living in obedience to him, we can be at peace that God will protect us. He is keeping us from so many diseases. Amen? Of course, we have to be obedient to him. And a part of being obedient to him is living a God-honoring life. So what does that mean? It means that we should not be drinking or smoking, because we know that that's detrimental to our health. Amen? You can say amen or oh me. We should not be involved in promiscuous sexual behavior, because that can bring all sorts of diseases. Amen? We should exercise regularly. Oh me. I try to do it 5 times a week. We should exercise regularly. We should eat a healthy diet, low in sugar, low in carbs, low in fat. And we should avoid animal protein, and because more and more research is coming out talking about the not only heart disease that's caused by the fat in animal protein, but cancer that is caused. That's why I went vegan after reading, when I got my cancer diagnosis, I went vegan because I read a book called Anti-Cancer, A New Way of Living. And wow, it just opened my eyes. So animal protein, and then diets high in vegetables and fruits. Remember, in the garden, God said that they could eat of all the plants. But he didn't say all the animals. Ooh-wee. Mercy, mercy, mercy. But it's amazing at the healing properties that are found in fruits and vegetables. Certain fruits such as berries and cabbage and broccoli, they actually have the ability to kill cancer cells and to restore healthy cell development. Isn't that amazing that God built that in to nature? He built that in to our food source. I read an article that said the 25-year-old statement by Hippocrates, "Let food be your medicine and medicine be your food," is still one of the greatest medical prescriptions ever offered to human populations. Let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. One of the best prescriptions. There is so much in nature that God has created. What do you think people used to do before there were doctors and chemicals and all of those things? They used to turn to nature and find healing properties in plants and in food. Amen? God has made a wonderful provision for our health in fruits and vegetables that he has provided us before we bread it, before we fry it, before we add some kind of high-fat sauce to it and put all sorts of unhealthy stuff on it. Fruits and vegetables are very healing. They have tremendous healing property. But God, in his grace, has given us the gifts of food that can heal. And we need to cooperate with God's promise of health by taking care of this body, which he calls in his word the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we only get one temple. And not like a car that every few years you can trade it in. You only get one body to carry you through this whole life. And we need to take care of it, amen? Because the quality of our ride is going to depend on how we have taken care of our body. So we need to take God's prescription for health by eating healthy. We are cooperating with God to see his promise of health fulfilled in our lives. We can't eat a pound of bacon every day and then say, God, keep me from heart disease or heal me from heart disease. Amen? Because we are dishonoring his word. We're dishonoring our bodies. Amen? So we have to cooperate with God in order to be able to see his promise of health fulfilled in our lives. So our great physician is able to keep us from sickness, and our great physician is able to heal all of our diseases. As we honor God, he keeps us from sickness, he prevents sickness, but that doesn't mean that we'll never get sick, as we see in the case of Job. God had apparently protected him from sickness up until this point, but then God grants Satan limited power to afflict Job, but God's protection still prevents Satan from taking Job's life. But even when we get sick, we can face it fearlessly because our great physician is the God who heals all of our diseases. And in the end of Job's story, he was healed and everything was restored to him. So no matter what our diagnosis, our great physician is our healer. Even when the doctor says that there's nothing more they can do, our great physician is our healer, and there is nothing impossible to him. Amen? And unlike earthly doctors who practice medicine, God heals. Amen? You know, when they practice medicine, you're the guinea pig, and they're trying this, and they're trying that, and they're trying this. Amen? And I thank God for doctors, and I go to doctors, but ultimately, God is our healer. Amen? God is our healer. And when I go to doctors, I pray that God will give them wisdom and skill that beyond their human knowledge, that he would guide them supernaturally. I pray for whatever medication they might prescribe, that God would make it effective unto its purpose and protect me from any side effect, because ultimately, God is the healer. Amen? So unlike earthly doctors, another benefit is this. Earthly doctors, they specialize in certain diseases. So you have to go to a cardiologist for heart disease. You have to go to a urologist for your kidneys. You have to go to a pulmonologist for your lung. But God, he's a generalist, right? He specializes in all diseases. That's what the psalmist said. He's the God who heals all of our diseases. So he's a one-stop shop. You don't have to go to somebody else. You just go to God for whatever's wrong with you and say, God, I need a complete overhaul from head to toe. Heal me, God, in the name of Jesus. And again, we are grateful for earthly doctors, and God does use them, but they only practice medicine. God heals. And there is nothing that you can be diagnosed with that he is not able to heal. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, and that is why we can have confidence when we are sick. And not only do we have a great physician, but we have a great promise. We are promised that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And in the New Testament, Peter says, by his stripes we were. Because in the Old Testament, it was looking forward to Jesus' death. But by the time Peter wrote his book, Jesus had already paid the price for our healing. So by his stripes we were healed. Our healing has already been purchased through Jesus Christ. And of course, in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, Matthew directly ties that passage of scripture from Isaiah 53 to the healing ministry of Jesus. He says, and when evening was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. So Jesus' sacrifice purchased both our forgiveness, our salvation, and our healing. Both were purchased with the same cross. So just as we look at the cross with confidence that he will forgive all of our sins, that anybody who repents of their sin and places their faith in Jesus will be forgiven, will be saved, we need to look at that same cross with the same confidence that he will heal all who believe. Healing is yours. It belongs to you because of the cross. Jesus has already purchased it. Healing is for you. Satan wants you sick, but God wants you well. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And that's why Satan will come and he'll lie to you and he'll tell you healing is not for you, or God doesn't heal anymore, or it's God's will for some people to be sick. He wants you to be sick. Satan wants you to be sick because it's a weapon of his warfare to fill you with doubt, unbelief, despondency, and anger towards God. And he knows the longer that you stay sick, the more effective this weapon will be. Reject the lie of the enemy, like the old gospel song that we sing. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. Hallelujah. The report of the Lord says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. And God's word is the final word. So we need to stand on the promises of God. Now, I know I've shared with you before, but when I was diagnosed with stage 3 uterine ovarian cancer, the doctor told me that I had a very aggressive cancer, that it was a rare clear cell carcinoma that does not respond well to traditional treatments like chemo and radiation, and that this type of cancer had a very high rate of recurrence. So he didn't give me a very good prognosis, but I am grateful for his education. I'm grateful for his training. I'm grateful for his experience, and I did submit myself to his care and recommendations, but ultimately, I went for a second opinion to Dr. Jesus, and I read his report, and his report said, I am am healed. Hallelujah. And every day I listened to recordings of healing scriptures. I prayed those scriptures over my life, and I knew that you were praying for me too. And when I went for treatment, I would sit in the chemo chair as I was being transfused, and I would pray those scriptures, and I would say, God, target this chemo only to the cancer cells. Do not let it destroy the healthy cells in my body. When I laid on the radiation table and they were pumping radiation through my body, I would say, God, target the radiation only to the cancerous cells. Do not allow it to damage my organs, because I was told of all kinds of damage that could have been caused to my bladder and to my rectum and to my colon, which I had none of that damage. To God be the glory. Amen. So as I had the poison of chemo pumped into my veins, or as I had the deadly ray of radiation into my body, I would declare protection over every healthy cell. I would pray that God would target the treatment only to the cancer cell. And oh, God was so gracious. I didn't get any of the side effects except loss of hair. I was as bald as a bowling ball. And the fact that I didn't get any of the side effects even astounded the doctors and the nurses. Hallelujah. My radiation oncologist would meet with me every week during the 5 to 6 weeks that I was taking radiation, and she would meet every week to see what side effects I was experiencing and how I was feeling, and she eventually said in the third week, she said, I don't even know why I'm meeting with you each week. She said, because it's just to say hi and bye, because there's nothing ever wrong with you. To God be the glory. And of course, I use that as an occasion to tell her about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have not only a great physician, we have a great promise. And we can stand in faith even in the face of sickness. Now, that doesn't mean I never felt fearful. There were times I felt fearful. But what time I was afraid, as the psalmist said, I put my trust in God. What time I was afraid, I put my trust in God. I turned to God. I turned to His Word. I called out to Him in prayer. I listened to worship music. Amen. We can face sickness with faith in the great promises that God has given us. And we are promised in James 5 that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. James 5:15 says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. When we're sick, we need to pray, and we need to get everybody we know who is faith-filled to pray with us. I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful that every time I went for chemo, this church held a prayer meeting for me. And I know that it is the prayer of faith. As you cried out to God, as I cried out to God, that He heard and He healed and He raised me back up. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you are sick, pray the prayer of faith. And if you can't have enough faith for yourself, gather together some faith-filled people and say, I need you to pray for me. Amen. We can pray with confidence because we've got God's promise that He will answer, that He will heal, and that He will raise us up. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. There is nothing more powerful than a threat to our health to fill our hearts with fear. But as believers, we can overcome that fear by resting in the confidence that we have a great physician. Not only is He a great physician that can heal us, but He is a great physician who can prevent sickness. And I think every single day we should say, thank you, God, for all of the sicknesses that You have kept me from today. Hallelujah. And then when we're sick, call upon Him in faith as the God who heals all of our diseases. And the beautiful thing is, you know, nowadays they have telehealth where you can talk to your doctor online. That's something pretty new, and it's become very prevalent, you know. But Jesus makes house calls. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus makes house calls. He comes to you right where you are, and He's able to heal all diseases, and He doesn't send you a big bill because Jesus already paid it all. Amen? I remember several years ago, we had two young men in our church. One of them, he was in the hospital, and he was young, and he had gotten a heart attack, and his friend came to visit, and I happened to be there when his friend was visiting, and his friend was a real jokester, and he said to him, as he's hooked up to all the machines, his friend said to him, he said, you think you've had a heart attack? He said, just wait till you get the bill from the hospital, then you're going to get a real heart attack. And at that time, all the monitor starts going, and they came and kicked Bernie out of the room. But Jesus doesn't give us a bill, amen? He paid it all. And we can overcome fear by trusting in our great physician and trusting in the great promise that God has given us, that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. The promise that the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. So tonight, if you're sick or if you have anxiety over your health, I want to ask you to stand to your feet and let's just surrender that sickness to God or surrender that fear or that anxiety to God and say, Lord, I'm trusting in you as my great physician. Would you do that if you are in need of healing or you're fearful about your health, concerned about your health? Just stand and raise your hands to heaven and just call upon the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you that you're our healer. We thank you that you're the great physician. We thank you, Lord, that there is no sickness, there's no disease, there is nothing wrong in our body that you cannot heal. We thank you for the many sicknesses and diseases that you have protected us from. We know that it is the grace of your hand, Lord God. And Father, we pray even now, once again, for anybody who might be sick, Lord, who is standing in faith before you tonight. Father, we pray your healing virtue be released into their body. We pray for any that might have anxiety or fear over their health, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would help them to keep their heart and their mind fixed upon you, and that your peace, which passes all understanding, Lord God, would keep their mind, Lord. Father, we place them in your hands tonight, and we are believing you to work in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. So good to have you out tonight. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.